Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 to 13. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality." This morning I want to draw to a conclusion the several sermons which we have taken under the theme of what God has given to us. And what better conclusion than to come to what Paul describes as the gifts of God, both here as he lists them in Romans and also in Corinthians. He speaks of the gifts of God. Now, let us highlight that what Paul has done for us previous to chapter 12 in Romans is to take us by the hand and to first show us the depths of depravity into which this world, into which man has come, and then to outline the remedy which God has provided in Jesus Christ, and how that we no longer have any condemnation. Those in Christ Jesus no longer stand under the gavel. They stand under the blood. And Paul brings us here to chapter 12, and he says, "I urge you, brethren." He is not speaking evangelistically to outsiders. He is speaking to those within the body of Christ, and he is saying, "You have been bought with a price. You have been bought out of the slave market of sin, and now this is the way in which you are to live. Having surrendered yourself to God, having surrendered all of your sin upon Christ, that he might take it for you." He now gets down to some very nitty-gritty matters of how that we, trusting in Christ, are to live. And he pulls no punches. He describes in very stark terms that we are to present our very bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And Paul says, no conforming to the things of this world. Oh, how the world would want to get us in its mold and turn on the heat and turn on the pressure, that we might be conformed. Oh, that we might still have a tag that says Christian, but that really the essence of who we are, that we have been conformed, how the devil would just love that, and how he works night and day to that very end. Paul says, no conforming, but rather transforming by the renewing of our minds. And Paul, in verse 3, he says that grace has been given to him. Grace has been given to each and every one of us in the hearing of the gospel. But Paul, he especially comes to a delicate subject here. He is addressing those Christians in the key city of the empire in Rome. And so he wants to use kid gloves because he himself has not been the apostle through which these Christians have come to faith. He has not started the church in Rome, and whereas at other times he has been more forceful, here he comes and he says, look, please understand that this does not emanate from me, but from the grace of God, from what God would want to pour into you. Listen to what I have to say. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. Good word to those in Rome, such a high and mighty place in that first century world. But he says, think so as to have sound judgment. Don't get carried away with who you think you are, or who you think you are connected with, or where you imagine you live among such opulence. Think of yourselves as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And he talks about the body. He talks about the body of Christ. Many members, but not all of us have the same function. And elsewhere he elaborates on this, that, you know, not all of us are an eye or an ear or a finger or a leg. We have different functions. And so verse 6, he talks about the gifts that differ according to the grace given us. And he says, let us use these. Let us use these wisely. Now, it needs to be said that there are the gifts of God and the gifts of the Spirit. There is also the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul outlines in Galatians. Fruit is something which grows and it matures. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all of the fruit of the Spirit, it is something that Christ develops within us. A gift is something that you just receive. You know, either you've got it or you don't have it. Fruit grows. A gift is something that is given. And yes, it may be a talent which can be refined and which can grow in its influence and effect. But here Paul is not talking about fruit. He's talking about a gift. And he says that to each of us, gifts have been given. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And he says, if it's prophecy or preaching according to the faith, the trust of the one who is prophesying or preaching. Service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. Now you say, I'm not sure that I have any of those in a particular way. I'm not sure that I excel above anyone else. Paul is giving here an illustration of various gifts. I'm sure he is not giving an exhaustive list. And let it also be said that here, sometimes people come and say, well, I'm not sure that I have the gift of generosity. And so I'll be meagerly, and I'll be mean-spirited, and I'll be stingy. Or I don't have the gift of exhortation or the gift of mercy, and so I'll be closed-hearted, and I don't have the gift of hospitality or other things, and so I'll just sort of retreat into my own little corner. Paul is simply saying here that there are those into whose lives God has given certain particular gifts. I'm sure you've seen it. Maybe a gift of hospitality. I can name names. I can name names of those who God has blessed with particular strength in teaching, and you just love to hear what they have to say. I know people who have the gift of generosity, of liberality, and they just delight to give. God has put it in their heart, and they dig down deep. I know those who have mercy and love, and it is with cheerfulness that they give of that gift. What is the gift that God has placed in you? Every one of us has at least one gift that we are to exercise for His kingdom and for His glory. I don't think that I can tell you what your gift is. That is something you need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, what is that that you have especially put in me? Come to the Word of God. Come to the Lord in prayer. Ask of others what they have godly wisdom observed in you. And Paul says we are to use that. Now in the Corinthian church, many of those Corinthians, in accordance with the world around them, had been conformed to the world in the taking of the gifts which they had been given by God, and they were using them selfishly. But here, Paul outlines to the Romans, he says, not for yourself, just as influence and all of the other gifts of God that we have examined, power of the Holy Spirit, these are to be used for the building up of the body of Christ, that God might be glorified. And Paul goes on in like manner after verse 9, talking about love, talking about evil that is to be abhorred, talking about unity, talking about preference, talking about diligence and service, talking about rejoicing in hope and persevering in tribulation, talking about prayer and contribution to the saints. What is it, my friend, that God has given to you? Indeed, He has given much. As we go back over the weeks, He has given you of His salvation. He has given you of His Spirit. He has given you the hope and the confidence of life everlasting. But open your eyes that you might see what else He has given. Don't let the devil close your eyes and think that you are without power, you are without influence, that God has just put you on the shelf. But open your eyes that you might know the gifts, plural, of God that are enjoyed by every believer, and the gift that God has most specifically put in you, and use that for His honor and glory. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we come and we look to Your word and we give You thanks for it. We think again of how that Peter and John were there at the beautiful at the gate of the temple, Acts chapter 3, and silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to You. And there was power. There was a mighty stirring in that man's body. Lord, I am deeply concerned that in our world, that we are so brainwashed into thinking, if we can just hold on, if we can just hold the rope until Jesus gets here, to get us out of this hideous mess, Lord, I pray that we would see things differently. The Apostle Paul, as he would go into a new city, it didn't matter what was taking place in the arena or the stadium or the theater. Paul had something to proclaim. He had a message of life everlasting. Lord, would you change our look, change our view, that it not be simply, oh, I don't know whether we can make it. Things are going bad. May it be, Lord, that we would see you in your risen power. May we understand that that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within us, and that you can make the very humblest and simplest believer in Christ powerful to the glory of your name. Oh God, whether it be in a classroom or in an office, in a home, in a community center, in a church, on the street, I pray that there would be this stirring within each of our hearts, that you have equipped us, that you have given us more than what is required to carry out the task of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. So, Lord, work among us and help us to lift our eyes to see the harvest and to see what you have provided. And may we therefore move forward in triumph and in the praise of your name. So let it be, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.